So another paper that was presented also looking at palbo by Malorny et al. Was a phase 2 study looking at as a single agent or combination with the same endocrine therapy prior to disease progression. Can you comment on that?
So I think the struggle that we as clinicians are having is, other than ER positivity, we don't have another marker of prediction. We all have patients in our practice who start on letrozole with first-line metastatic and do extremely well. We all have patients who go years and years and years. And even though the CDK4/6 inhibitors are terribly well tolerated, as soon as you add in another drug, you get more toxicity. So I'm very curious about who could I just treat with letrozole and who do I need to add a CDK4/6 inhibitor? Right now, this is the first data we've had that shows that maybe you can start with endocrine therapy and then add in CDK4/6 later and recapture those patients who aren't really responding well to the single agent. So I think that's important data. It's very important for us as clinicians. Hopefully we'll get more markers, but right now I think that was important data, even though it was only phase 2 data. I think it was important data and suggests that you can start with endocrine agents and then add in a CDK4/6 for those patients not responding. It certainly is important. It also has been a struggle because we've said, well, who should you treat with upfront CDK4/6 inhibitors with an AI? Who should you treat with later CDK4/6 with fulvestrant? What can you do? So I think all of this data that we're piecing together is important.
What exactly did they show that kind of supports the concept? It kind of reminds me, in prostate cancer, you hear the idea of, with first-line metastatic disease, start out with androgen ablation, and then if they don't get a great PSA response, add in chemo. Kind of seems a little bit similar. But what did they actually show here that supported trying to do that?
Well, they showed that patients who weren't responding initially to the AI alone had a similar progression-free survival to the AI with CDK4/6 inhibitor, as has been reported, really. They showed a real benefit adding in. So, you know, we've been seeing about a 24, 25-month progression-free survival with the ribociclib or the palbociclib phase 3 trials. And they showed that they're getting up there when you add it in later. Granted, it was a phase 2. Granted, it wasn't a large study. But I think they showed a very good progression-free survival for adding it in later, which I think is important. It is a little bit like other trials from many years ago, too, of patients who went on a experimental phase 2 trial first line. Could they do well later on? And we've shown over the years that patients do well. So I think clinicians, particularly when a patient's just been diagnosed with metastatic disease, can start with an AI, can start with the endocrine agent only, and are probably not going to lose ground if they don't start the CDK4/6 right away. For many patients, that might be more palatable because patients with a new diagnosis of metastatic disease often don't want a lot of toxicity, often want some time to adjust to the fact they've got metastatic disease. So not hitting them with needing too many blood tests, needing too much toxicity, might be a good way to approach many patients. Again,
you know, the other thing would be financial cost.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to get to, that I think financially that's important. And again, you know, it might be that there are different patients. So those patients with non-visceral disease or with only one or two mets in their lungs or liver with good performance status, you know, those might be the patients you've got some time, as compared to a patient with heavy bulk of disease or a lot of symptoms.
What fraction of patients did they not give the CDK inhibitor to? The response rate was like 10%.
Well, remember that response rates don't necessarily reflect, and a lot of their patients didn't have measurable disease, if I recall correctly. So I think the response rates are going to underestimate. And when you think about most of our patients with metastatic ER-positive breast cancer, a lot of them don't have measurable disease. Response rate over and over again, if it shows a positive effect, it's helpful. If it goes in the same direction as progression-free survival. But what I think we're really looking for is patients with either stable disease or a lack of progression, and that's what's important. Many of our patients just not having to change therapy, staying on the same therapy is important. And just a tumor shrinking is not necessarily the only item that's of importance.